The Advice Podcast. Hello and welcome to The Advice Podcast, where we cover off all the things you need to know to get financially ahead in New Zealand. So today we are so fortunate to have someone that I follow and admire greatly. She's a business and brand strategist, Michelle Fowler. She's self-employed with her own business, Half Light Studio. And I think the thing that I love is that she elevates and grows her clients nationwide, and she's just really good at it. And from a visual perspective, if you end up following her after this conversation, you'll see it's just so clean and crisp and relatable. So hi, Michelle. Thank you so much for giving us your time. I know that from a strategy point of view, you are fabulous at planning. So to fit us in is, I really, really do appreciate it. Today, we're kind of going to be chatting about strategy from a self-employed and in a new business perspective. And I just wanted to start off with you, maybe a little bit of your story, but sort of touching on why, what strategy means to you and why you think it's important, if that's okay.
Oh, absolutely. What an introduction. Thank you. So in terms of, as Chris said, my name is Michelle. I own a business called Half Light Studio. So about 60 or 70% of that is more strategic consultancy based, and the other proportion is design focused. So I'm pretty much that 50-50 split between creative and strategy driven left, right brain sort of situation. Yeah. I also have recently taken over management of an education publishing house in Sydney. So just to add another kind of extra layer. So strategy is kind of really, really important at the moment. So kind of in terms of really what strategy means to me, is strategy is the thing that gives you direction and focus. It's all of that foundational work that really helps to drive your business forward. So I think it was, I've got his quote here that I look at every day. It's from Rory Baden, and he says, diluted focus, diluted results. And you see this so often with every small business owner, where they are trying to do everything, because in many circumstances they don't have a choice. But when you have that diluted focus without strategy, you are getting that watered down version in terms of the results. And the thing that people often forget with strategy is it doesn't need to be complicated. It really doesn't. It can be very, very streamlined. It can be very, not simple is the wrong word, but it can be in clear, digestible areas. And when you've got that great strategy, it becomes sticky. So it sticks to every part of your business and really helps you make decisions a lot quicker, a lot easier. And often when it comes to clients, I describe it, I'm quite a like draw it on a whiteboard visual type person, but like imagine that Maslow's hierarchy of needs, and kind of up that top there is that anchor point, and that is really your vision. That's what you want your business to be. That's what you want your life to be. Because I mean, when you're self-employed, there is that congruency between life and business that that can't sort of be missed a lot of the time. That next kind of layer down, you're looking at your goals, and these are the quantifiable like specifics to keep you on track with that vision that everybody harps on about goals and those kind of areas. The third layer is the juicy layer, where I come in with the strategy side. And this is where you start to drive the business to actually make those goals happen. And then the final layer, I always kind of call the grunt. It's where you, the people, the systems, the software, everything that kind of makes it all happen sits. So strategy is that link between that grunt and you and those goals and that vision kind of area. So it's so foundational with it. In a nutshell.
Yeah. No, but I love how you've put it in a nutshell, because most people hear the word strategy and I see people turn off.
Because
it sounds like it's going to take a lot of time. And I love the way, maybe I should start calling myself a financial strategist rather than a financial advisor, because I think you just nailed it for me. And I wrote down diluted focus, diluted results, and it doesn't need to be complex, but you do need to put time into it. How much, like if you're starting with no strategy, what would be your, if you're a GP of strategy, a doctor of strategy, how much would your prescription be to people? Like how much time do you need to start to grow a strategy?
I think the first thing is you've got to have awareness of yourself and where your strengths are and where they aren't. If you are able to really take that time and sit back and go away for a weekend and have a weekend away from client work, family, all sorts of stuff, and sit there and know that you'll be able to really digest and work things and streamline them, 100% do that. If you know that you really struggle with that side of things, is get support with it. And you can sit down. I mean, as you said, with the complicated things, I had a client last year, a board that I was meeting with, and they had a 20-page strategy document that had been done for them. And I was reading it and my eyes were glazing over.
Yeah.
I just, and the reason why they came to me was because they were like, we actually don't know how to execute this. And so it was sitting with them. We did a half day session and we had everybody in the room and we just stripped it right down to 5 key pillar areas, which had key KPIs and goals for them, and then clear actions and deliverables. And they were just able to move forward with that with a clear action. And they've implemented that over the last, what are we now? Probably 10 months ago. And I checked in with them last month and they just said, it's brilliant. It's just, it's simplified everything so well. So whether you are bigger or smaller, there are ways to kind of keep things, keep it simple, stupid kind of approach, even though I don't like that term, but
it really
does need to be digestible and it needs to be actionable with it.
And clear. I love that, simplifying. I always, I don't know whether you've ever seen any people come with business plans and can you have a look? Put your eye over this. And it's like your business plan doesn't need to be 10 pages. You know,
Like they've got one online and they've just done what they thought they needed to do rather than really sitting back and go, who am I and what do we represent and what do we want to do?
Yeah. Is it fair to say that when you're doing this work, people need to have what they call a growth mindset in that they want their businesses to grow? Like, what if you're just happy being a one-man band? What if you're a tradie and you've got 2 employees, but you don't want to take over the whole country or, you know, build a franchise? But is strategy equally important for those who might have want to be in business for a long time, but they don't have a massive growth plan?
Yeah, so absolutely. So I'm probably in a similar situation at this stage, and it may change. For the next few years, I don't want to bring on a team. I don't want any of that kind of thing. I'm more than happy working by myself and any contractors that come and to support.
Yeah.
But the thing about it is I think when it comes to it, is where strategy can come in is looking at the legacy, looking at your exit strategy, because a lot of people have never considered what they want to do long term. Like with a tradie, my husband's one, there's a certain point where he won't be able to do that anymore. What does he want to do? Things like that. So you need to build in, okay, is this something where I want to build the business to sell it? And not build it in terms of having more people, but build it to a profitable level. Do I want strategy in order to give myself more free time? So it might not be adding more work. It might be still getting paid the same, but being able to get more time off. Is it something, there's so many different ways that it can kind of be built into it.
Yeah.
It's just looking at where you need it. Often people think of strategy as we want to grow, and that means more people, more profit. But as so often is the case, is the more people, the more problems in many situations. Sometimes it is much easier to be really a profitable, very streamlined operation where you still have a beautiful, for lack of a better word, balance between life and business. And just getting a bit of strategy around making certain operations easier for you. So if you are a tradie, that you're not sitting there day in, day out on your admin side, everything's falling behind, you're feeling overwhelmed and you just want to get out on the tools. It's going, okay, what's the strategy around getting your operations just nice where it's doing its job for you? And that can be simple things like, okay, where do we look at your operations side? Where do we look at maybe outsourcing a bookkeeper? Where do we look at doing different areas to get you more free time?
Yeah, 100%. I love that. I so love that. I always think of, and I describe to my clients, it's like, you know, you're at point A and you've got to get point B, and without strategy or without a plan, you're kind of just aimlessly getting there. It's going to take you twice as long, rather than, it's almost like having a compass and a roadmap and going, right, you're going this way for 23Ks and then you're taking a left and a right and a, you know, and so it's just making it more efficient, isn't it?
Oh, gosh, yeah. And you nailed it. And I think the thing is when people hear the word strategy, immediately the eyes kind of roll over, everything just feels a little bit dark, is actually reworking the word, like whether it's roadmap, whether it's framework, the plan, whatever it is that you feel that resonates with you the best, just swap the word out. And that will make a lot more sense between why it's important before, realizing that's why it's so important.
In my previous correspondence to you, we've just been on a conference, and it was said again by someone involved with the All Blacks that culture eats strategy for breakfast. and I get that from when you've got a big team of people. Like, we have, 30-odd people in our business, and it's really important to get the people right and the connection and, the health of the team right from a productivity point of view. But if you're self-employed in a small team, can you simply hear things like that? And there might be other sayings out there and go, how do I apply that to me? And for a small business, would culture be about your well-being and what you're doing and making time for yourself and that work-life balance? Could you say work-life balance beat strategy, or how do you interpret that?
I think at the end of the day, when it comes to culture and the way in which they sort of display it, is culture is about creating an environment, a feeling that is congruent to the people in the business and the operations of the business. It's about that alignment of getting people in the right space to get the best work, get the best productivity, get the best results, then kind of, again, profitability from that. So when you take that internally, you kind of nailed it on the head that it becomes back to you. And it is about that working on yourself at the same time as working on your business, because business isn't linear. People aren't linear.
Yeah, 100%.
And that's the thing, is there's no set recipe. So the only way that you can really start to change things is internally. And that can be in a larger organization with the culture, can change internally to result in external output, but also when you're self-employed, if you're working on yourself internally, that can impact your output and what you kind of do. So it's really helping, ensuring that strategy really aligns with the vision and the people in it. I think you may have heard me talk a little bit about sort of seasons in your business. So like how we have seasons in the weather, summer, autumn, winter, spring, there are times when our business is slower. But if we do have some sort of strategy, then we're able to sort of work through those periods and really get revved up for when, same as when you're in a really busy season and things start to slip away. And I mean, I'm sure you're quite similar to me. I'm a natural born hustler. Like, I could work until I drop dead, and I love it. And I really love what I do. Yes. My body, on the other hand, does not.
Yeah.
And it sneaks ways to sort of show me that it's not happy. And so what I think there's this whole thing of really slow, beautiful business and really that hustle culture, and it's about finding the balance that works for you. So I know when I'm in a busy period and I communicate that, I'm very strong with boundaries, things like that, then I know that I need that space to have a slower period, to be more strategic, to sit back, reflect, make decisions, that kind of thing. So it's about that balance, I think, with it, and as I said, culture, whether it's internal as an individual or within a business, always determines output or helps to support output.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you in that maybe I'm a hustler, maybe I identify quite strongly with those words. but even I notice a change in business and my output and my productivity, but also my engagement and whether I'm enjoying client work and those sorts of things, is if I've filled my bucket first.
Oh, gosh,
and not felt selfish about it. And so it's about knowing that strategy is, yes, it's those professional KPIs, but it's also making sure that your strategy, I think, does have some personal component to it, where your well-being is a focus, because the more time I make for that, I truly believe the better I am in business.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And it's all about operating from a place of sustainable productivity. So making sure that your priorities are aligned, your values, whether it's within your business, but also your family values, if you've got family and children, is making sure and looking at your natural energy cycles and things like that, seeing when, okay, cool, I'm feeling really energetic, I'm feeling really productive, I'm going to move with that. Okay, I'm feeling not great today, I just need to do a little bit of behind the scenes type work, as opposed to really getting out there.
Yeah. So for those who are time poor, because often when you're in business and you're self-employed as well and you're hustling because you've got bills to pay, right? Mm-hmm. And so I see a lot of businesses, they're busy doing, and if I talk about when was the last time you worked on your business rather than in your business? I have had conversations that, you know, well, where do I have time? In our business, we have 3 strategic days a year where we take our whole team. We have a planning day, sort of a professional development day, and then what we call a resurgence day. And we take time with everyone to actually work on the business rather than in the business. But when you're time poor, what needs to shift, or what is the most important first step? Where do you start?
Great question. So there's a couple of things that kind of come top of mind. The first one is in and around, and I'm going to throw a bit of Tony Robbins in here just for good measure. And he always says, which is a great one, complexity is the enemy of execution. So complexity is the enemy of execution. So when you make things complicated, it's going to really delay that execution. It's not going to be able to nail it, things like that. So I think it's so, so important that we simplify things, as we've kind of touched on a couple of times. The second one is in around lots of people are building businesses. They aren't building brands. So for me, a business is transactional. At the end of the day, people pay for solutions to problems, which is what we all do in all of our different businesses, is we have a solution to something that they are struggling with, or they need help with, save time on, whatever it is. So we really want to be shifting that a little bit to actually building a brand. And that's not the physical look of it. I'm not talking about the logos. I'm not talking about any of that, although it is important. But what I'm talking about is building a personality to your brand. Building a brand that people want to be loyal to, that people want to refer to. So particularly when you're time poor, you don't have time to market, you don't have time to do all of that stuff, really making sure that you have built a brand that you can build that loyalty. You want to look at where you can revenue stack, so where you can save money by joining different areas and making things simple. I think my big one I say to people, and I work with a lot of clients on at a very fundamental kind of level, is getting really good, clear communication that's organized. I think the biggest downfall for so many people is in around their communications and getting swept up in their emails. And you can save so much time if you get really clear with your communications. So I think it's really important that you sort of take that time where you can grab it and look at where you can get things streamlined and sorted. Because at the end of the day, the more simple the strategy is, the more you can start to prioritize and execute. Whereas if you overcomplicate it, you've got a 20-page document, you're trying to do a letterbox drop, you're trying to do social media, you're trying to do email marketing, you're trying to do this, you're trying to do that, you get that diluted results, but you also don't know where to prioritize your energy. Whereas when you simplify and go, okay, at this point, I don't have a lot of time, I'm going to prioritize these 2 things. It's not that I'm not doing the other areas, I'm just going to put them on pause. And I think that's the thing that so many struggle with, is they think that something, because they're not doing it, it drops off and they've suddenly, they're not doing what they should be doing, and they feel really deflated by it. Instead, we're going, okay, we're going to pause that thing. It's not gone. We're just putting a little pause on it so we can refocus our energy to then prioritize and execute and get what we need to happen sort of going. Does that kind of make sense?
Yeah, that makes 100% total sense. I listened to someone, gosh, I'm terrible, I can't quote who it was, but they said the word priorities actually came from the Latin word priority, which means one thing. Focus on one thing, not many things. And so, yeah, I think we do, especially self-employed, you know, you can be putting on and taking off a lot of hats. And I think that leads me into what the next part of making strategy achievable, and obviously getting good outcomes from your time back, from revenue generating and all those other great outcomes, is outsourcing. So do you kind of see I see it a lot. I like people, I want people to stick to their knitting. I want them to do what they're best at. And that is more revenue generating. Having a strategy of sticking to your knitting. I don't know whether we can quote that or write that down. But so then those other things that you're doing that you aren't necessarily very skilled at, or you don't enjoy, let someone else do them. but I do see a bit of a block with people going, yeah, but I don't want to spend the money. I'd rather do it myself. What are your thoughts on that?
So I, when it comes down to it, very basic level, invest where you get results. Where helps to get you...
Like invest your time or invest...
Both. Invest time and energy, but in most and financially. But I think at the end of the day, I think what you're touching on as well is a lot of people put their head in the sand about stuff. Oh, I'm really bad at this. I'm really bad at that. It's actually taking away firstly that philosophy, giving things a go. If it is eating up your time, energy, you dread it, it's sitting on your to-do list forever, just look at where you can outsource it. At the end of the day, the compounding effect of that investing is huge. So people often focus on the immediate loss. Oh, it's costing me $10,000 to do this program. It's costing me $3,000 or $5,000 for a website. And they feel it as if it's a loss. And I think what's really important is to shift that and look at the compounding effect of that investment. So looking at it and going, the long-term savings I'm going to make from having this new program that's it's going to save me XYZ time, or this person that's going to save me XYZ time. Look at the time I'm going to save, the energy I'm going to save doing this all week, the mental energy, whatever it is actually looking at each investment. And I think the other thing that I see quite a lot is people saying, say they've hired someone to be a VA or a virtual assistant or something, and they've had a bad experience. And then they get this immediate block about they're never going to find the right person. And so it's really challenging, but there will always be a better solution. Just sometimes it's like saying, I've gone on a bad date and I'm never going to go on a date ever again kind of thing. That's the best way to describe it. Instead go, okay, take that, go, shivers, that cost me a lot of time, a lot of energy, or a lot of money, or all three. But there are amazing people out there. There are amazing solutions, programs, software that can really help to support me. I just need to find them. And when you do, you'll just get that immediate release of, oh my gosh, I can't. And it always is the way, I can't believe I waited that long.
Yeah.
So it's often I get it with when I do websites for people, as I cannot believe. And a good example, I had a website a couple of years ago where they had a very convoluted website, a million different click-throughs, all sorts of things. And so clients weren't getting to the solution fast enough. They were just putting so much on there. And we did something that was very clear, very direct, and their inquiries tripled over that period. And not just inquiries, their actual bookings tripled, which was great. It wasn't just people browsing. But that's the same with websites or anything. People complicate it. You want to keep it. People just want to get on a website, either buy something, get the information they need, and get out of there as fast as possible. It's very rare for someone to sit and want to browse and read every conceivable thing unless it's like the juiciest stuff in the world.
Yeah.
People are busy. So it's looking at where you can outsource and really looking at the key ways that will get you results and get you results, whether it is financial results, which is the optimum, but also if it's something is just really, really drowning you, then definitely look to where you can outsource it and bring in the people who are specialists in that area.
Yeah, I love that. I think it's about getting in a helicopter sometimes and going up and having a good overview.
Oh, yes.
You know,
and it's sometimes a physical visual thing. Like actually it sounds, I'm getting a bit mindsety here, but in terms of actually imagining looking down on your life and your day and things like that, and if you feel that dread instantly like knot up, that's got to be something that you've got to look at going, okay, cool. How can I, and even if it's a dip the toes in the water, which is people feel a lot calmer when you say, why don't you just find someone that will help you for a 3-month period, a 6-week period, be upfront with them and say, if this is just a 6-week contract, immediately a lot of the guards drop because they feel like they're not signing up for this long-term thing. It's got an end point. That then it feels a lot more relaxed that they can then sort of go, oh, okay, yeah, I'm going to enjoy this process. And then hopefully it works. And then they continue on. I read a great thing the other day. I listened to a great thing in and around negotiation and how the first thing you want to do is actually get a no. And it really built out all of this approach about working with people and working with their personalities and stuff like that. But just to jump back in terms of outsourcing, definitely make sure that you're investing where you get results.
Yeah.
Is I think the key takeaway from it.
Oh, Michelle, I could talk to you all day.
I could talk all day.
You know, but you're amazing, and you've got Oh, even the way you describe things is so clear, concise, and it makes sense. And I'm just really grateful that we've been able to sneak you
in
today. Pleasure. Thank you so, so much.
My absolute pleasure.
I've actually got a page of notes. Do you have much space to take on new clients, or are you fully booked?
So in terms of strategy and consultancy, I do for the rest of the year. Design work is just smaller websites, I call them three-day intensives. But in terms of strategy, so I kind of run one-on-one sessions. So if somebody just wants to kind of get a little bit of that feeler, like I said, that has an exit point where they just want to kind of get that bit of helicopter view, I have one-on-one sessions. If you want to dive a little bit deeper, then consultancy is the best option, where it's that blend of strategy, design, and execution, actually rolling it out for you. Mm-hmm. And then I do more strategic planning group workshops and sessions, and that's sort of more for smaller businesses, not-for-profits, sales teams, marketing teams, stuff like that.
Oh, you are a fountain of wisdom.
Thank you.
Love it. Hey, thank you so much for joining us, Michelle. Appreciate your time. And
my pleasure.
I'm looking forward to watching where you go and where you grow as well. I love what you put out into the world. So thank you very much. Remember to subscribe to the Advice Podcast on your preferred podcast platform. Follow us on Instagram at The Advice Podcast and feel free to get in touch about any financial topic you want to see tackled. The information shared on The Advice Podcast is of a general nature and is not intended as personal advice. This podcast exists for educational purposes and should not be relied upon to make an investment or financial decision.
Carissa Fairbrother is a financial advisor engaged by Rival Wealth to provide financial advice. Rival Wealth is a financial advice provider licensed by the Financial Markets Authority. A disclosure document is located at rivalwealth.co.nz, or a written copy is available on request.